There's no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Mm. God, I love there's nothing I like better now than a big pile of smoked ass cream, dude. I have a smoker, but I haven't gotten to the smoke and cream part of smoking.
I wouldn't even know how to do that, honestly.
You put it in there. I think that I'm not quite certain how you smoke cream. I mean, I don't know. I feel, to be honest, I'm trying to get used to the nickname. That's because that's my new yard name.
What, smoked cream?
Old smoke cream. But I think you just get a dollop of it. As long as it doesn't slip through the grills. I think that's a racist Swedish joke.
Yeah.
About like why they don't barbecue over there. About somehow the smoked cream always slides through the grates.
It
but I'm not
be.
Quite certain.
No, I don't know.
But I don't know how you smoke cream. I think you just blow cigarette smoke on it, which is actually kind of fun because I'm thinking about getting back into smoking.
Really? You're thinking about getting back into smoking?
Something to do.
Really? Well, I hope you don't. You're going to die, my friend.
I know, but then you can get the vaccine early. We have our fat friends. Have you already seen some of our fat friends in New York that are already bragging?
No.
We have friends.
Wait,
that we
what?
Know. We have friends that are friends of this podcast that are bragging because you can be fat enough. I don't know if this is actually going to be on the show, but you can be too fat to not get the vaccine. So if you have a certain BMI, I believe in New York.
So if you ate a bunch during quarantine, you get the vaccine first for just being super lazy?
And I have seen several dudes being like, fucking fat enough to be fucking next level, dude. I'm next gen, dude. And I've been like, this is not fair.
What?
It's not fair.
How can, why don't we qualify?
I don't know. You should actually talk to a doctor. Not saying that you're big enough, but you're also
enough.
You're big enough. You
I'm
know what
definitely
I mean?
Big enough.
And think about how much disease can be generated within your cells and be given out to the world.
I think my cells are strong and they fight the disease back. Anyway, are we going to start the show?
Yeah.
Is this the beginning of the show?
I think so.
All right. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Evidently, two guys too in shape to get the vaccine.
Wait till they hear my yard name, old Smoky Cream. Because Smoky, a man named Smoke Cream either gets a heart attack or murdered in jail or definitely dies of COVID.
But in between all of that, they win a Texas barbecue cook-off.
Ooh, you get a shirt, you get a shiny fucking, you get one of those statues, or just a big, large man with an apron on.
That's all you need. You know it's a good cooking competition when there is no monetary reward. The only reward is a small, bought at Home Depot, cobbled together by somebody's child, trophy, and a t-shirt. And if it is not, if you are doing something, and if getting a t-shirt isn't enough reward for you to do that thing, just stop doing it.
Yeah.
Because then there isn't a love there.
Yeah, absolutely
my
not.
My chicken wing challenge, when I got my chicken wings, 812 Supercoup, I didn't even get a t-shirt. I got my name put on a wall of a restaurant that has since closed down.
Three times. It's and been three different restaurants since that day.
And I found when you do go on the wall of a storied restaurant that has a history of fantastic food competition, once they close down, that wall goes with it.
But you have the memory.
Do I?
No.
No.
That's already been tarnished because the story's already grown and shrunk in many ways. You know what I mean?
Know.
It's already been destroyed.
It's disgusting. But anyway.
Because to get a Nobel Prize, you have to be
able to. You just have to lie a bunch.
You have to lie and you have to be able to stomach watching a child human centipede make its way through an obstacle course. And apparently, if you can physically applaud at the end of it, you get a Nobel Prize.
Mr. Nobel, the man who created the Nobel Prize. Or is this the Peace Prize, right?
Yeah, sure.
You got the peace thing?
Is the first name Ronald?
Ronald Noble. Well, the guy created dynamite. And you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven.
I remember that trivia.
This whole thing is just like, I created dynamite, I killed a bunch of people, but now I'm going to give awards to buy off criticism.
I think we're actually getting into a lot of trouble.
We might be.
Immediately.
Well, speaking of getting into trouble, Henry and I do have to say this. Last week we covered a story about dueling neighbors over snow, which of course
very fun
for us because I'm a snowbird. I'm from, I live in Wisconsin.
Me
I lived
too.
In Wisconsin.
I know the urban street battles when it comes down to snowfall. And
get your snow out of my yard. I'll put it in your neighbor's yard.
And we had such a funny play-by-play. Do you remember how funny our play-by-play was with
fun.
All the voices and stuff we did? But then we didn't know.
No.
There was
a real play-by-play.
Yeah. We didn't know that they were going to release the CCTV footage of the shooting. And apparently, from what I've watched, it is absolutely horrifying.
It's horrible.
And I can't get it out of my mind.
It might be one of the worst things that we've ever seen. And we have done a true crime show for over a decade. So we just didn't see that.
No. And we didn't know how many times they got shot. They both got shot many, many times. And then the man was like, not funny about it. Not like I was.
No, not at all like you were. The way that you told, kind of, you had a character, and it was mostly based on the snow.
Yeah.
It seems like the snow was almost like an Everybody Loves Raymond episode.
Afterthought.
It's the afterthought.
It's the suitcase episode.
It's the suitcase episode. It's not about the snow. Yeah. There were some deep-seated issues within that neighborhood, specifically with those two neighbors.
And then he also shot them both multiple times, and then shot them both. I did not know that he shot them both after shooting them many times to the point where they were crawling and screaming in the street. He then shot them both in the back of the head, execution style.
Yeah, and he didn't do it silently. He also taunted them. Anyway, so we got a lot of messages being like, guys, you were a little bit light on that story, but we did not see that footage. Mm-hmm. And we're not backtracking here. I'm just saying we did not see that footage. And now that we saw that footage, that's why we're entertainers and he's not.
That's the thing.
Because that was not entertaining. That was bad.
He was not funny for a minute.
He didn't even try.
No, and you're on camera, buddy. Aren't you embarrassed?
It's a little bit weird that there are cameras everywhere.
Well, no, I mean, just the UK, it's even worse.
I didn't think there were going to be cameras of this event because it's just a little neighborhood.
That's what, I mean, honestly, he should have wore a better shirt or something if he knew how famous he was going to become. But then I guess he did commit suicide. I think it's a terrible story.
Horrible story.
But what we do here is we translate.
We translate. So anyway, if you want to have a fully traumatized day, if you're just doing too good right now, and everything is going great, watch that video and you'll be brought right back down to earth.
Anybody whose career got better in the last year is a fucking monster.
All right. Well, we do have some stories because the world continues to giveth. I guess we could talk first about dumpsters in Philadelphia.
Dumpsters in Philadelphia.
We also have to, do we want to talk about what happened to Bruce Springsteen?
I think Bruce Springsteen, we'll find out. There are more facts to come out, but Bruce Springsteen was headhunted this was a revenge arrest for that DWI, but that's me fighting for Bruce Springsteen.
I'm in his
corner when it comes down to
it. And you know what? You're his height.
Yes.
Bruce Springsteen is a little bit more compact than one might think.
He's a true performer.
His energy is so big.
That's the thing. He appears to be larger. That's why people think a lot of times when they meet me, they are so afraid of me because they expect for me to expand in size. He's one of the best performers, the only good part of New Jersey. And there is no reason why. I think he got done dirty, but we'll find out.
Absolutely. Of course. Free Bruce Springsteen. He is a hero. And, you know, that was politically motivated. But anyway, let's go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia police are investigating after multiple bodies were found at two crime scenes, and they were found in U-Haul vans during a traffic stop. These officers, unlike the officers that arrested Bruce Springsteen, actually did their job by asking, What's in there? So it was around 9 a.m. It was on Sanibel Street. Investigators said someone called the police because they're like, I think there's a burglary in progress. And so naturally the cops, because they're heroes, said, we'll be right there, ma'am.
When they got done arresting Bruce Springsteen, or what was this, Philadelphia? He got done arresting Ben Franklin. And then they decided to go handle this little crime here. But this
other person from Philadelphia that you can name?
Rocky.
No, one real human being.
Rocky's son.
Joe Frazier would have been the right answer.
This story actually kind of gets complicated.
Yes, it does.
So this started, it starts at the house of Peter Gerald. Now, apparently, Peter Gerald, who is a masseuse, which is, you know, again, I love a masseuse. I love it when they just fucking, you ever have a masseuse get so deep up inside your own ass, the next thing you know, you're having sex with them and there's a whole film crew there?
You know, the weird thing is, when we were in Sydney, Australia, I went to a masseuse and I couldn't take my pants off, but it's so weird because I've done a series of other fun things with a series of other fun people. But for some reason, the massage, I didn't feel comfortable getting totally nude because I'm not in the mood. I don't know what to expect back there.
What I said was a satire, but they don't really touch your asshole.
She was like, oh, you take the pants off. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Well, you take the pants off to be relaxed because they're going to get at your legs. They're going to get at your feet. They're going to go at the top of your thighs.
I just can't be. I don't know what would happen back there.
Were you afraid that it's just going to fucking go off like a loaded shotgun without the fucking safety on it?
No, but she did seem very upset that I would not remove my pants.
She's upset for you. She wants you to be relaxed.
I think it's because she wanted to get inside.
I feel like not every masseuse is entranced by your asshole.
Anyway, Sergeant Eric Grip, he had a lot to say about what's going on.
Well, this guy went missing. So Peter Gerald seemed to be missing for about a week. He operated needing you therapy. According to Annie McCormick, this is a tweet that she put out. He was a licensed masseuse focused on healing practices like Reiki. He even gave pet massages. But hopefully he asked first.
I'm sure he did. I'm going to assume that he did.
I give Wendy little massages on her back, but I joke about her being stressed because she's not stressed. Her whole life is completely taken care of.
But unfortunately, with the Chihuahua variant, she is always stressed.
Always.
I know that with Jerry.
It's a part of her little nature. And so he cared for exotic animals like birds, fish, and turtles. But they think that he might have offered work for someone who took advantage. So he was missing for a week. And then what they found was this U-Haul truck just parked in front of his house.
Weird.
That then left, right? So it was just there. So the neighbors have been watching him. They had not seen him come in and out of the house. They watched this U-Haul truck leave, and they called being like, I think somebody's wholesale robbing this man's house with moving equipment.
Can you also say this? How fun is that for the neighbors? You peek through, you have your blinds,
it's my fantasy.
You put your fingers up to open up the blinds, and you're like, I think something's going on with the neighbor. Then everyone's like, Kathy, you're being a little hysterical right now. But then sure enough, Kathy is correct, and something is happening at the neighbor's house.
I am so excited. I would love to see murder, but I don't get to.
It doesn't happen that often.
I just see the Roto-Rooter man coming in and out of my neighbor's house every day, and I go like, and what I like to do is go get the mail. And if I ever see that person, I go, Roto-Rooter, huh?
Huh? Must be taking some big dumps, huh? It's a good thing you didn't say the Roto-Rooter man was coming in and out of your house, because I know your plumbing is just fine and your wife is having sex with the Roto-Rooter man.
Why are you doing this to
me? I'm sorry.
Pablo just needs a place to come in.
That is a horror.
That is bad.
Your wife.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Sergeant.
No!
This is what Sergeant Eric Grip said. He said, so the vehicle pulled over, and as soon as the officers got out of the car, the driver of the U-Haul just came right out the door and said, I don't want anything to do with this, and there's a body in the back.
He said, all right, so the words were, because there was a follow-up article to this article. So he left, but they went in, they asked these two men to leave. They were driving this U-Haul truck to leave. A man named Teray Herring, 47, he he's charged with abuse of a corpse and burglary charges, because we're going to say they found out there was a bunch of body parts in the back of his U-Haul truck. So when he came out, he's a registered sex offender. He exited the vehicle saying, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I was just paid to move a body. And the driver was actually not charged. He was charged.
So it's not super illegal to just be charged to move a body. I mean, you know, it's just really, it's like what fat asshole clown Pogo.
John Wayne Gacy.
It's like when John Wayne Gacy was
I just ran an illegal mortuary.
This guy is just a limo driver for corpses, but he doesn't have the license, which makes him a mortician.
I don't know what it does.
What's the name of that person?
I think that's not correct either. Okay. But they went in. They wanted to go so the Wednesday before all this happened, they called for a welfare check on Gerald. Officers arrived at the residence, but not force their way inside because the home seemed secure. There was no signs of a break-in or foul play. After interviewing Herring, the guy that they pulled over, they found body parts inside of this attached garage and the U-Haul truck.
Oh my gosh.
And evidence that it seemed like someone had tried to burn the remains. But when they went to a Wawa store that was there was a dumpster behind a Wawa store in Kelvin Street near Gerald's home.
No.
And they discovered more remains,
including
what they believed to be deep fried hands and feet.
Wait a second. First of all, never misuse the dumpster of a Wawa. Wawa dumpsters are there for construction workers to have their sandwiches and sit on top of during their lunch breaks.
That's cute.
I have a fantasy of America. Never dump a corpse in a freaking dumpster behind a Wawa. That is ridiculous what they've done.
The thing that I find really concerning is that these hands and feet were deep fried in what I can imagine was at the Wawa.
Oh my
God. So I don't know what people are, I don't know who's deep frying these hands and deep frying the feet. If doesn't have if you don't have access to a deep fryer. But his also what's
were
sad
they,
is
okay, I have to ask, were they breaded? Do they bread them?
Don't make me hungry.
I'm serious, because what else do you do?
I mean, you could just deep fry it like a chicken wing. You don't bread a chicken wing.
Yeah, I guess not a good one.
No,
please. Although no, I don't hate
it, and then you do the sauce after the fact.
I forget where I did have one good breaded chicken wing, but now, of course, I digress. We're talking about human hands in a deep fryer.
But
here.
I'm already very hungry. Yeah. But when they had to go, apparently after they discovered all this, they had to go to the animal care and control team of Philadelphia. They had to go to Gerald's residence and removed more than 60 exotic animals, including 30 parrots, as well as bearded drag lizards. Jeez. Tortoises and koi fish, each one of them with one of those spa towels on because they were just waiting for their appointment to get their hot stone treatment.
Can you imagine how difficult it is to be the Aflac duck? You're there, you're a spokesperson. Everyone wants to constantly be like, say it, Aflac duck, say it, Aflac duck.
Say it, bitch. Say it, you Aflac fucking bitch.
Just one day you wanted to get your massage from, again, just to really highlight how adorable this man is. The masseuse therapy business was called Needing You Therapy, KNEADINY, Needing You
Honestly,
Therapy.
Honestly, though, I don't.
Super adorable.
I don't like the idea of being. I don't like the idea of a masseuse saying he's needing me. That's what you do with dough. You know what I mean? You're calling
but what else
me
are you?
I know that I am doughy.
Yeah, pork pie. Pork pie boy. Get on in here.
I know that I'm doughy. When it comes down to it, we
I'm
don't
sorry,
have
the Aflac duck is, he bumped you.
Aflac.
I knew. I'm sick of masseuses in L.A.
Oh, Henry Zebrowski.
I need to update my IMDb.
Oh, you're Wolf of Wall Street's Henry Zebrowski. I'm sorry, you've been bumped for
Aflac.
God the duck is here. Yeah, the duck is going to have to. And his penis, as it gets larger, that takes a while for the massage to take place.
Whoa, look at that duck's penis taper.
Aflac.
All right. I understand, though. I'd let him bump me.
Okay, of course.
But now we're seeing, it looks like the man is now in custody.
So who is in custody? The driver.
Herring. Okay. It is not the driver. It is the man in the back and the passenger seat. But they're trying to figure out what the hell else is happening. They don't know exactly what went down with Gerald. They don't know when he officially went murdered. It sounds like somebody got a massage and then he ended up making it a not relaxing experience for the masseuse.
Well, neighbor Linda Zander, and of course, this is why I'm going to move wherever I move. I'm like, is there one neighbor named Linda? Because you need a Linda.
Gotta have a Linda.
A Linda in every community. That's what keeps the whole thing safe and going. You don't know it.
You don't
but
know
without
it.
That Linda, your entire town will fall apart.
It takes a grassroots mayor like Linda. That's what I call someone who's a bossy
neighbor.
Neighbor, yeah.
Grassroots neighbor.
Grassroots mayor. She is there. She's not chosen by the people.
No.
She's not chosen by anyone. She's chosen by herself. Linda is out there. She's got her binoculars on.
Most of the time, you don't like Linda.
My mother's a Linda.
I know.
And she can be polarizing. But my mom is also a person that does also to this day explain to me what every single neighbor is doing on the street, which I'm not going to say I got this genetic trait.
No,
but it's close. At the same breasts.
Linda Zander, I don't want to talk about your mother's breasts.
I mean, I was blessed
with beautiful breasts.
Look at them.
We've talked about it. Now I actually did have to look at them.
Look at them. I know what tight shirt I got on.
Linda Zander, again, the neighbor we all deserve, although you do know 99% of the time she's just looking through your window.
Oh, she's a fucking pain in the ass.
And it's just like, come on. But this time, almost like the movie Rear Window, she actually saw the thing that she thought she has seen for the past 25 years.
So excited for her.
This is what she said. She says, we figured he was always helping them do something, you know? I guess this is his payback for doing something nice.
Christ. All right. That's very passive aggressive.
That's a Linda response. I guess this is his payback for doing something nice, which is why when Linda talks to her children, she says,
I'm not doing anything.
I'm not doing anything because I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. As soon as I let my guard down, you're going to cut off my beautiful little toes and you're going to put them in the deep fryer at the Wawa.
We were just saying it would be good when you go into Ubers to wear a mask because it's dangerous.
I'm not robbing a bank.
No, I know you're not robbing a bank.
I have no reason to wear a mask. What am I? Is this the balaclava?
Mom, just...
All right, I'll wear a mask, but it's got little kitties on it.
That's cute. Oh, I hate you, but I love you, Mom.
So that's a horrible story. We're going to find out more as that unravels.
And again, poor guy. Just wanted to be a massage therapist, needing new therapy. R.I.P., bro. That's really sad, and hopefully people are held accountable. I don't know. The deep fry thing is like,
I mean, where were they deep fried?
And you got to change that oil.
I mean, guess what, though?
I'm not going to the Wawa. Did they say what Wawa was? If you're in Philly, don't go to any Wawa right now.
It was on, I'll look up the street name. It was the Wawa on.
Because that is horrifying.
It was the Wawa on Kelvin Street.
All right. So avoid that.
Just go ask them if they've changed the oil or when's the last time they deep fried human hands and feet in there.
Because they have to
legally answer you.
Well, how would you even put a human hand on one of the roller sheets? It would just flip flop.
Well, you got the deep fryer in the back. No, you cut it up and you fly it and you fry it and you fry it. And the way you know it's done is that they start to float. That's common with chicken wings.
You're a psycho.
But they also found a full severed human torso in a garbage bag in the back of the U-Haul. There was a lot of
this
bits
is just
and
one
parts.
Person.
And I will say, they didn't even try to bubble wrap this shit.
And that, my friend, when it comes to moving, is a crime worse than murder. All right. Well, speaking of smuggling, do you want to do this light story or do you want to do this?
Let me first say story. The Dyatlov Pass strikes again. Last week, I think that we covered that they in the lamest turn of events possible, Frozen, the movie, Disney movie Frozen, mm-hmm. might have helped some part of Dyatlov Pass mystery where people went missing in the 1960s.
Well, they said it was a bunch of snow.
It was a snow, which is great, whatever, cool, fine, but that's still only part of it, the part of the explanation. But apparently, this week, a group of tourists went missing again in the Dyatlov Pass.
Okay, see, when something is made famous for having people disappear while being on it, this isn't a tourist attraction. This would be like if Pompeii was still smoldering, I just went and go see other people. It's like
Pompeii,
you can die.
When we went to Pompeii, and Pompeii does have the slight threat of it can go again. Like, it can go again.
That's a level, that is a, is that...
I love it. I mean, that's just.
But
fun.
If
they,
you die
when it's
doing
coming.
That,
you know when it's coming.
Do you?
I don't know.
They didn't.
They did. They thought it was. There's a lot of shit going. There was a lot of stuff wrapped into that story.
All right.
There's a lot of stuff in the wrapped in the Pompeii story. We technically should cover on last podcast and left. It's fascinating. But the Dyatlov Pass was completely. The Dyatlov Pass disappearances are completely avoidable.
Yes.
Because you know that it's crazy. I know that I would go. I definitely
would
want to go the Dyatlov Pass. Absolutely. But I would go in the summertime.
You would go with like the Ritz-Carlton of Sherpas. Like, you would go very, like...
I'd be in a car watching it from binoculars. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I'd go.
I could see you Marlon Brando, like the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Being carried on the big chair. Absolutely. I mean, that is the way to go. That's how you see... It's such a good way to see the world bobbing on the shoulders of people you don't pay.
And then hear you complain at the end of the day, being like, it is kind of a bumpy ride, though, as their backs are broken and their shoulders are splintered.
I mean to stretch next time I take this slave car. So this comes from Newsweek, so you know it's real.
Oh, they dropped off the radar.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway.
A group of tourists have gone missing in the infamous Russian mountain pass where 9 people died under mysterious circumstances more than 60 years ago. 8 tourists from Moscow who ventured into the Dyatlov Pass in the Ural region had not returned by Wednesday morning. This was from last week. I believe last Wednesday.
Okay.
I don't know if they've come back. The source said they were supposed to leave at 8 o'clock this morning, but they have not returned, and there's no return. There's no contact with them.
They
went out there to take a look at it. The Ministry of Emergency Situations in the Sverdlovsk region told the outlet Izvestia that there were 3 registered groups at the pass, and they are in contact with all of them. If the group is not registered, then there has been no reports of missing people either.
Oh, they're dead.
So they're trying to say that maybe these are people that kind of went super indie and did not report that they were going, and then now are gone.
Be very careful. It might not be cryptids, but no matter what, wolves are real. and bears are real.
Bears are real.
So just never go to a place that's known for human devastation. Either way, it's going to be cold, though. No matter what, you're going to be cold. It's not fun.
Some people like the cold.
Yeah, but they don't like the cold. They like the cold because they think they're strong enough to handle the cold, and they only like it because it thinks it makes you, by proxy, a pussy.
So then they say,
I like the cold because it makes you a pussy because you don't, but they don't like the cold.
I don't think anybody likes the cold. I'm a hot Iron Hot, and I like being in the tropicals. But it's like, you know, our buddy Adam Wirtz, who is a full-on Wisconsinite, but he's one of those dudes who wears shorts no matter what temperature it is. And I know sometimes he's cold.
He has to be cold.
I know that there are times when his feet are cold.
And I actually think he's the one who runs hot. We run cold because we need the heat, like lizards. Heat.
Yeah, I'm one of those dragon lizards rescued from that masseuse's house, like Ace Ventura's house.
Oh, I really wonder if that man was living a good life or just a horrible hoarder life, because it sounds like that's a lot of freaking animals.
Honestly, it also sounds like, you know, if you massage animals for a living and then your whole house is filled with animals that got to be massaged, do you ever get a break?
I don't think you do.
Who's massaging you?
Well, the deep fryer.
All right.
Well, let's continue to talk about smuggling. But in this case, this is actually because we'll have a palate cleanser, because I know we mentioned Bruce Springsteen getting arrested and people are still very upset.
I just came in mad.
I saw you today. I was driving through the parking lot and I saw him. So I honked and I was like, going to run him over. And you know how friends do.
Yeah, it really scared me.
And then I rolled the window down and I was like, are you mad? And then you were like, I don't want to talk about it. And then we talked about it in the elevator. So it was good to get it out. But then I was mad, too, with what happened with Bruce Springsteen. Anyway, a man, you know, people are always smuggling stuff out of Mexico.
Every day of our lives, they're smuggling in, they're smuggling out, they're smuggling up, they're smuggling down.
You know all about immigration.
Because they got the tunnels, they got the airways, they got the lakes.
Well, this man was not
Gulf of Mexico.
He wasn't smuggling people, nor was he smuggling drugs. This man was busted trying to smuggle 194 pounds of pure, uncut Mexican bologna.
I love getting bologna, because honestly, getting that bologna before it's stepped on, because how many times bologna's cut with these fucking laxatives?
Oh my God, get out of here. Half of the stuff is just baby laxative, yeah.
Yeah, you know how many times you get bologna, next thing you know, you're in a coma because of the meatnil in it?
Exactly.
That is a take on fentanyl,
which, by the way, again, if you're going to do drugs, get a tester. Be very safe, because we do not endorse any of those drugs. Bad.
Yeah, but give some to your least favorite friend and see how he reacts first.
That is the organic way to do it. When it comes to the bologna, I think your friend would be pretty happy. The person was only fined $500 for trying to smuggle in the 194 pounds of Mexican bologna.
Oh, this is barely a crime. It's a meat heist that actually I was surprised they weren't coming down harder on.
So, of course, this guy was 49 years old. He's a Mexican resident. I believe they need to let this guy go. But if you are working at immigration, if you are working at customs, they do it by weight, right? Because you're driving over.
Of course.
That car weighs more than it should because he was driving a Nissan Rogue. So they're like, you know, they know what that's supposed to weigh. And they said, that's a little heavy. They must have thought that they were going to find the most amount of crystal meth.
So much fucking coke.
They were like, today is the day we're going to get our pictures.
Yeah. With them, with all the bales, you know, like with the big American flag. And they were so excited.
And indeed, it was nothing but baloney that they found. Although they did still take the picture. They took the glamour shot of all the baloney on the table, being like, yeah, look at us. Look what we did.
Where does the baloney go once it's in their holding section? What happens when baloney is evidence?
Unfortunately, authorities, they confiscated the meat and they destroyed it because, quote, it was black market meat.
What?
This is according to Port Director Tony Hall. He says it's important that travelers understand that they should declare all items they are transporting from abroad to avoid fines and penalties. And
do you think that? Yeah. Can I see this picture? You have it on your phone. I want to take a picture of this bologna. Now, I'm looking at this.
I think it's not. I don't think it is black market. I think that's solid ass bologna.
To be honest, I don't know exactly. Of all of the meats, isn't bologna, of all of them, it's like inherently black market, because anything can be smuggled inside of bologna.
Bologna is the definition of the American dream. It brings together all parts. And I mean, it's hooves, it's assholes, it's eyes.
It's everything.
There's some good breast in there, though. Some good rib meat, maybe.
But it just boiled down into a slurry and then made into a tube. And that's the thing. Mm. But bologna exists in all cultures, right? Because in the Italians, it's more like the mortadella, like something like that. Where like a bologna, a nice bologna.
Pimento.
You're obsessed with the bologna sandwiches from that one place in Nashville. Do you remember the saga we had and the heartbreak that was achieved because of the weird lukewarm sandwich? And you say, I want to say in your denim jacket pocket that I was supposed to come and get in the middle of Nashville, but then you consumed it anyway.
It was absolutely phenomenal. Oh my God, I'm totally blanking on the name of that place.
It's on the main drive. It's on the honky tonks. It's one of the biggest, most famous, oldest honky tonks.
Oh, it's one of the, I can't wait to go back to Nashville. Anyway, absolutely. Yes.
But yes, I'm surprised you actually have less to say about this meat situation because I'm looking at this.
No, I do have
honestly,
a lot to say. I'm trying to think of the name of the damn honky tonk bar that I love to go to in Nashville. They have the fried bologna sandwich. It has the mayonnaise. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's the greatest sandwich I've ever had. It's somebody's name, Rubles or Rachel's.
Yeah, I think it's Rachel's.
Rachel's.
This is the problem. They look up biggest Nashville honky tonk, and the technically Kid Rock's big ass honky tonk rock and roll steakhouse is physically the largest honky tonk.
It is not accurate. Do not.
But
go.
Also shut down for COVID too, obviously, because of the fucking Tootsies.
Roberts Western World.
Yes,
there
Roberts.
We go. It's Roberts. Also, Kid Rock's Donkey Honky Tonk. Yes, shut down for COVID reasons, but also everyone gets hammered. It's three stories. They try to jump off the third story. This happens every month, apparently. And I do it. My only complaint with the Kid Rock Donkey Honky Tonk, they don't actually play honky tonk music. It's mostly Kid Rock music.
It was just
or Kid Rock alike music.
Yeah, it was it's Kid Rock adjacent music.
So
just in a huge stage. So dangerous.
But anyway, going back to the bologna, it is packaged professionally. We have people who are starving. People need food. And you know for a fact these border agents brought it home to their wives, and their wives had sex with them for the first time in a year because they were so happy they provided for the family.
But I will guarantee four of those cylinders of bologna has like a rat skeleton in it. But that's bologna.
Aren't you allowed?
That's
you're
what
allowed
I'm saying.
A little bit of rat in everything, right?
You're allowed to have a certain amount of rat feces, a certain amount of bug parts, a certain amount of blood, a certain amount of, I want to say a certain amount of human semen. You can, if you could test for it, there's like there's a legal limit, obviously regulation, but I think that you can have up to four bros worth of semen in there.
Well, I don't know why anyone would want to come in the bologna batter because it's not exactly a sexual, it's not, no one would get, I don't know.
You could have one of those weird, like, you know how people have like fun like hunts, like they do a thing for like work. They could do like, you know, like one of those things where what's it called?
Take your come to work day.
You don't take your come to work day. You know how many times I bring my daughter come to work?
It's a horrible thing to name.
I brought my come to work today. It's in my balls.
Oh my.
No, I'm talking about the fucking scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
I mean a scavenger hunt. Like having, I'm talking about a scavenger hunt, like having one of those things where it's just like one of the items on the scavenger hunt list is that someone's going to go fucking come in the bologna.
Well, that's not, you don't scavenge someone.
I think it can be experiences, but you have to take a picture of the cum leaving your dick going into the bologna. You have to have proof.
Well, I don't, I would say don't eat the bologna.
One looks curiously like you.
Well, you could make a boob out of the bologna, I suppose, or a butt. You can do anything out of bologna.
Anything out of bologna.
Absolutely. But just be careful eating bologna. It is very tasty. Again, go to Roberts and support them and their fantastic bologna sandwiches.
This is a story that I want to get into a little bit today. That is, there's a lot of chatter in the UFO world. There is a lot of chatter that is pointing more towards than not. There is an official investigation inside of the U.S. government with actual material from a UFO. This story obviously comes from the Sun. So you're going to immediately be like, Henry, you're full of shit.
Right. Well, the Sun, they do have a lot of days that they have to fill with content.
But I have seen this story now fold out over a period of time that it's more about, like, if you see the breadcrumbs and you follow them, you can see there is a weird kind of conversation that is happening.
Definitely.
According to this article, Pentagon admits that it has been testing wreckage from a UFO, some kind of crash and findings they quote unquote may change our lives forever. That is according to researcher Anthony Bregalia.
Can I just say this really stop? I'm sorry to stop you because I know you're going to get going. You're going to get rolling here on UFO stuff. But do we even want the spacecraft that crashed? Because isn't that spacecraft innately flawed?
Unless we shot it down on purpose.
Okay.
We don't know. That's whole story about Roswell. Basically what this is that there was a Freedom of Information Act that came out.
Flipped it over very quickly. Because you know when you do a FOIA, it's like the next day it shows up.
It took 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And it's this weird admission where it's like basically this UFO researcher, I mean, I'm not going to speak to the credibility of this UFO researcher. I imagine his social media is filled with interesting ideas. But he wrote this. They believe he sent this FOIA request in, and he said that he wanted to know about if they had any results of tests. Right. He wrote to the DIA requesting details of any sort of research into some sort of like anomalous material that they had. And if there was any research into it. And he said, according to his request, he said this could include physical debris recovered by personnel of the Department of Defense as residue. Flotsam. Oh, flotsam.
What's that?
Flotsam. Shot off material and crashed material from UAPs, right?
Or sounds like something you might find in baloney.
I honestly think by definition baloney is flotsam.
Okay.
But the DIA actually got back in 3 years. They released this 154 pages of test results. Damn. That include reports on this mysterious memory metal called nitinol. Right. Which is this essentially an aluminum type metal that can be balled up and can snap back into shape. Right. Okay. They can basically can be fucked with physically and then it goes back to its normal spot. Now, if you are a student of Roswell, if you've paid attention to anything that we've talked about, we know that sounds exactly like the material that they said was replaced in that infamous picture that has the guys with the tinfoil and they're like, it was a weather balloon is them all laughing and shit. There's that story that the idea that the original material that was found right after the Roswell crash was taken and replaced with this aluminum foil after they originally came out and said this UFO crashed and then they whitewashed the whole thing, whatever. But there is some real chatter saying that this shit is real. That goes back as far as to 2009, that this idea of this nitinol might possibly be some kind of chemical retro technology from whatever it was we found that day. And there's some pointing towards it might be the reveal in Jacques Vallée's new book, The Best Kept Secret. He's got a new book coming out in May. I don't know if you saw that Jacques Vallée was on, he made the rounds on the various podcasts. And he's been saying for years that he's been holding on to these metamaterials, that he has this shit and he's got it and he holds it very close to the vest. He doesn't want anybody to know exactly what it is he's been waiting for this book, essentially.
Yes, he wants to say, because you know how books sell. They fly off the shelves.
I will buy this book.
No, absolutely. We'll probably cover it for a full episode. But so in the FOIA request, did he get back documentation that they said, yes, we have this material?
Basically, what they said is one of the materials mentioned in this list was a metal that could act just like this nitinol.
So they did admit to that.
Yes.
That's cool.
It is. Well, now nitinol is a known quote, like it's out there, like it is a thing. But they're saying that it might have come from a retro built technology from inside of a UFO. This points to there has been a lot of talk in the UFO community about this concept that the United States government, what disclosure will eventually look like is an admittance that they have weird shit somewhere in a hangar.
Weird science.
But they don't know what it is. Yeah. And so we'll find out. But it's getting more and more interesting.
Like they're going to debut it inside of something cool. So it'll be like, we got all this new technology, but they're going to market it as like the microwave that cooks your bologna even faster. It's going to be like into a product. And then everyone's just going to be like, I know what a microwave is. And then
they've been saying this for years. Like, that's what they've talked about, where this all, if they have.
What's it going to be? A car?
I mean, I don't know.
Look at the new car would be awesome.
What happened to that fucking Tesla truck? Do you remember that thing? That thing fucking ruled.
No, all I know is it was a horrible debut.
I love that fucking truck.
I took an Uber after a Saturday. So I have not been drinking. So I drank on Saturday and I got drunk to the point where I was embarrassed for myself because I was like, I didn't do anything stupid, but I was like, what an idiot. I don't even know how to have my beers. I was like bullying myself inside of me. I was like, what kind of moron doesn't know how to have a couple of beers and hang out? And I literally had to be like, Henry, I got to go. I think I did an Irish goodbye for the first time like ever.
You did great.
I've never done that. But I got into an Uber and it was a Tesla. And I got to say, that man was so defensive. I got in. He's like, yeah, it's a Tesla. I was like, all right.
Well, cool, cool.
I didn't even say anything. And then it was the most uncomfortable ride I have ever had.
Why was he mad?
Because it was one of the first gen Teslas.
Oh, so it's an old Tesla?
And it does not hold up well.
Well, this is my thing with Tesla. But I mean, obviously, this is not a car review podcast.
But I have no problem with the Tesla.
But I am scared about the future of Tesla. I know that this is going to shake the stocks. But I am worried about the future of the Tesla cars. But, you know, we have friends that get them and they'll love them. But I have no clue. I'm not ready to give Elon Musk my money.
Not yet.
But who knows? This story will obviously play out in a million different ways, but you know how I also spent my fucking weekend?
How else?
I fucking rolled up a big old fucking joint. I have one of these auto grinders, right? So I went and I made a big old joint. I was so exacting that I layered mounts of keef inside of it just so that I can re-get into it. And then I found a Reddit channel, a Reddit collection of the most compelling UFOs that exists. And if you want to see some fucking shit.
Are you being serious?
Dog, yeah, dude.
Okay.
If you want to see some fucking shit, dude, look at this. I'm going to have Kissel react live to this video that I'm about to show him.
Okay.
Look at this fucking shit.
Triangle UFO see this triangle? Over South
Look
Carolina.
At this thing. What is this? Three lights in a position. See how they're moving at exact the same speed right here? This is like the live show from last podcast.
No, it's fantastic.
See how they're moving and how that's obviously connected to one ship?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, that, my friend, is called an unidentified flying object because I can't tell what the hell it is. It definitely is not moving like any space.
Those are not three separate lights. That is a plane with three lights and look at that fucking horseshit.
It's incredible.
It's a triangle UFO over South Carolina. This is from 5 years ago in August 2016.
I'm just jealous they don't have any light pollution in South Carolina. Look how clear that black sky is.
Dog, look at this one. If you see this one, this is from 2012. This is from Guadalajara. This one right here, dog. I'm going to fucking show you this episode. You don't even fucking see this shit.
No, I feel stoned just looking at it.
Look at this, man. All right, cool. You see how he's got these like squiggly lights over here? Let me pull this all the way up.
Yeah.
Right, you see the squiggly lights here?
Oh my goodness,
right?
What's going on?
You see this fucking little structure right here, you fucking piece of shit. Look at it. Watch. All right, so the lights, they're hanging. What's that? That's fucking weird looking.
That is weird looking.
There's a lightning strike, right? It shows later on what the lightning strike revealed. Look at the fucking hidden structure underneath it, you fucking oaf.
Better not be a dick.
You fucking
better
piece of dick. Cuck. Look at this. I'll fucking kill you if you don't see, if you don't get significant that is.
That's awesome.
What the fuck is that thing?
All right.
Is that thing? That is El Mejor OVNI Grabado. This is OVNI in Guadalajara. This was from 2012, dog.
Honestly, check those out. Those are really cool. You don't even have to be stoned to think that that's incredible because that's freaking awesome. Really awesome. All right. Well, let's go from out of this world to something that is so unbelievably in this world. Is that the sound?
I'm sorry.
When you go back from outer space, you come back.
That's how I feel. That's my entrance noise.
There's nothing more human than Florida. And there's nothing more Florida than love.
Nope.
And there's nothing more stupid than a Florida man in love with more than one woman.
I mean, sometimes your love's so big, it's not enough for one woman. How many girls, you got to let your men go. This is my new story.
Don't.
You
got to
let your partner go. Let him fly. Let him, let the partner, whatever that thing is that you're with, you let him go do whatever they want because you don't want to run into scenarios like this.
So there's this dude. He's 48 years old. His name is Joseph L. Davis. He went by two different names, Joe Brown and Marcus Brown. All of these names are the most basic names that ever have existed. Anyway, so he was dating two gals. You're like, okay, it's Florida. I guess that happens. Maybe they know
everywhere.
Each other.
People date two gals, even in Europe.
Sure.
More so in Europe.
Absolutely. Anyway, they didn't know that he was had multiple girlfriends. They thought that they were the only one until one of the gals went on Facebook and said, look at the ring that my friend. That my man Marcus gave me, Marcus Brown. Turns out that ring was stolen from his other girlfriend. The ring itself was around $6,000 in value. The woman found that picture of the woman being like, look at this incredible ring, went to her jewelry box, noticed that her ring was missing. Anyway, a confrontation took place. She called the police. The police arrested him. He has now been charged with theft. But I just gotta say, we gripe about social media. It's just, but the reality is the reality. You just can't have multiple women that don't know about each other anymore. And if you do, you can't steal from one and give to the other because they're going to find out cosmically.
And also, you can, I believe on Facebook, you can hide posts from specific people. Mm. I believe you can do that like you can do with, I believe, Instagram and Twitter and all that shit. And you'd think if you're going to post pictures of the engagement ring, you'd hide it.
But the interesting thing is, and it kind of makes this even more Florida, the woman got that ring that was stolen from her. From her ex, relationship, it was an engagement ring from another guy.
So this is a,
so she actually. I'm going to say she stole the ring because if the engagement is off, you should give the ring back. I don't know.
That's kind of a weird. That's like a hot topic about whether or not you're supposed to give the ring back.
No matter what, this ring is cursed.
Oh yes,
this is not a ring for love.
No love comes from that ring ever again. But at the same time, it was a gift, right? You received
under
a gift.
Under the guise that you were going to get married.
Sure.
All right.
But the problem is that the gift has already been given, and then what do? I think that it would be appropriate to give it back.
Well, who would want to keep an engagement ring?
A fucking trash person.
I guess.
Not to be anything. Or I would say if you were treated specifically poorly by the person that gave you the ring,
but then you cash it in.
That's what I'm saying. Then you sell that ring. You don't keep it. That's what I would say. That's my mind.
I completely agree. Anyway, it looks like the gals are now friendly. And they are working with the authorities. They're just going to end up being friends. The guy is a relatively handsome dude, black fella, buff, nice guy. Looks like he was in the army, perhaps.
Too much love to go around.
You just can't do it anymore. Not the 1980s. Although I would say you never steal a ring from somebody else to give it to somebody else because, again, just cosmically, they're going to know.
It just poisons the well. But I also will say, I think that there is the engagement ring process in America has run amok. They are too expensive. I do think that you should be able to, depending on what you're talking about with your loved one, because sometimes it's just about a sign of commitment, isn't it?
It really is. And I'm going to say this, and this is only for the people who have gotten married out there. I only know because people have gotten married that are very close to me. I think the engagement ring is the burner plate of love. You know the burner plate when you get married?
Oh, that keeps
plate?
It simmer.
Yeah, but you don't need it. It's just a plate. It's a second plate that they charge you more than the original plate.
But they do that because the dish industry is run by the fucking Armenian mafia. And they got to move these burner plates or whatever that term is underneath the main. The plate you eat off of has another plate, especially if you're planning
a wedding.
It makes no sense. But guess what? You have to get it. If you want the other plates, we went through this.
I know you all went through this. The burner plate is the most ridiculous thing I've ever
plate?
Seen. Starter plate?
I don't know what the hell it's called.
Starter plate?
I just don't cost a lot of money.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, if the love is pure, you don't need to spend too much money on these rings. Don't break your bank.
No, the biggest ring you can put around someone is just the emotional, encompassment and prison of your love.
It's more of a harness.
Yes.
It's more of a full body.
It's a cell.
Harness.
It's like a cell you're in, but you like.
Absolutely. So, Henry, this entire episode, I've been looking at this video. Is this something you would like to show me?
Now, this is proof that I am so excited before this guy.
Okay.
This is a very fun story. This comes from consequenceofsound.net. Here's the headline, and then we're going to play
it. Consequence of Sound is pretty great.
It is. It is. I'm going to read the headline, and then we're going to play a little bit of it.
Okay.
This guy turned his dead uncle's skeleton into a fully functional guitar. Now, can we hear it?
Please. I'm looking at the skeleton right now. It is a... It's a hell of a creation.
That is a full set of human ribs and a pelvis bone.
If you want to find this on YouTube, it is Dude Built a Guitar Out of Dead Uncle's Skeleton. And,
wow, that's fucking metal as fuck.
I don't have a good music ear, but it sounds a little muddled.
He did it.
It's hard.
The fact that it works, I think, is very impressive.
Yeah. You know what?
First of all, this is a guy, he goes by the moniker Prince Midnight.
Okay.
This was his Uncle Philip. As you can see, he's playing his Uncle Philip. He's a little bit freaky, but basically what he said was like, this guy, he's in Grex. He's Grex. He's from Greece. And it is his father, his Uncle Philip was donated. His skeleton was donated to a local college in Greece where it was used for educational purposes for 2 decades. When the school no longer needed the skeleton, it was returned to his family.
Oh, my skeleton's not good enough for you anymore?
You just got a new hot skeleton. You know how it is in Hollywood.
Wait, are you telling me a sexy new skeleton came in and bumped off this 20-year-old skeleton?
So you could just, because what you do is, it's to keep the students engaged. You get a hot woman skeleton, but they just look at the skeleton and they're just like, oh, this is boring. And then the teacher goes, well, what if I told you the skeleton used to look like this? And then it's like a picture of Kathy Ireland, like when she dies.
Oh,
and
wow, just Kathy
like,
Ireland.
Whoa, Kathy fucking Ireland. I can imagine the tits.
Absolutely. Kathy Ireland, the pinnacle of beauty in the early 90s. And today?
I love her.
Sure.
Orthodox Greeks, they frown upon cremation and the cost of burial was too expensive. So Prince Midnight and family were at a crossroads as what to do with Philip's remains. See, first, Prince Midnight, who appears to live in Florida, had to deal with a lot of red tape. Just they gained possession of the skeleton. He had to file and refile all of the kind of paperwork, all this kind of bullshit. So this is what he reported to Metal Sucks. So I got the box of bones from Greece. I didn't know what to do with them at first. Bury them, cremate them, put them in the attic. All seemed like poor ways to memorialize someone who got me into heavy metal.
Hold on a second. So they just flew the bones to him. Like, did Amazon do this? Did a drone do this? He just got his uncle's bones?
I think UPS didn't know what they were carrying and they just arrived at the house.
You can't even take baloney over the southern border, apparently, and this guy just got his uncle's bones?
I mean, how did Marcus get all of those bones for years?
Illegally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Years. And so what he said,
Horse bones. That we know of.
Sure. Whatever. I mean, whatever, to cover up his fucking crimes, his series of crimes that he established with his families. And so he said that his Uncle Philip got him deep into heavy metal. So he decided to turn Uncle Philip into a guitar. And he said, which proved to be challenging. I did a lot of research. No one's ever made a guitar out of a skeleton. So I did it. I started out consulting with two guys in Dean Guitar's woodshop in Tampa, but they got cold feet. Anyways, now Uncle Philip can shred for all eternity. That's how he'd want it, man. I'm super proud of the project and how it serves to honor him, his life, and his influence on me.
Dude, I love it. And, you know, people might say, a lot of Florida stories today and last week and the week before because Florida continues to give. But I'm retiring in Florida. I mean, every story makes me love it more.
Each one of these stories makes me like the state more. These stories.
Those stories. Yeah, because, I mean, it's not... I don't know if it's good or bad.
I don't know.
You know what? I'm happy that he is memorializing his uncle that way.
It's incredibly creative.
It really is.
But that's not this. That is actually not the hero of the week.
All right. Let's do hero of the week. And speaking of bones, we're going to talk a little bit about dinosaur bones, or at the very least, dinosaurs.
That's my dinosaur noise.
I love that dinosaur noise. It's really accurate.
Well, you sound more like...
Wow, you are just a historian.
They did roar.
Apparently. Okay. An 8-year-old from Minneapolis recently pointed out that he has a big freaking problem with the NPR show All Things Considered. And I'm just going to say this kid, he is right. There are massive problems with that show, and this is one of them. So Leo, he's 8 years old. He wrote a letter to All Things Considered, and this is what he had to say. He says, my name is Leo. I'm 8 years old. I listen to All Things Considered in the car with my mom. I listen a lot. I don't know. My parents used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Your parents used to listen to Stern. I'm not sure what this kind of, I don't know what this creates for a kid listening to NPR. I think it's a little boring.
Because how does a child get into NPR?
With your mom's help.
Honestly, when I watched, when I was a kid, I'd be like, boring. I want to see things explode.
Baba booey, baba booey. Exactly. We also listen to a lot of preaching. Which is probably why I love the spoken word so much. Isn't that nice? Anyway, he goes on to say, I never hear much about nature or dinosaurs or things like that. Maybe you should call your show Newsy Things Considered, since I don't get to hear about all the other things. Or please talk more about dinosaurs and cool things. Sincerely, Leo. And Leo, out of the mouths of babes. Absolutely. We all agree with you. More dinosaur talk, more fun news on
more
NPR.
Fun news.
And I think you are the hero of the week.
I didn't hear fucking word one from NPR on that story of the fucking the baloney's getting fucking hijacked.
NPR only covers the most boring of stories so they can seem exciting when they cover them in their boring ways.
Well, to them, being boring is exciting.
That's just the way that they are.
But I don't know. But in my mind, being boring is boring.
It's a different kind of white. There are different. We have two kinds
of
whites.
We're rowdy white.
Then
silent white.
Silent white. By comparison, they have talked about. So dinosaurs, this is according to an NPR archivist. They have found the word dinosaur only appearing in 294 stories in the show's history. By comparison, they have seen the word senator has appeared 20,447 times. So you know what, Leo? You're hero of the week because you are suggesting things to make radio better and make it more engaging for the younger generation, because without you, we don't have a future.
We don't. And I believe in Generation Z.
I believe in all of the generation.
But, I'm fine with our generation.
Yeah,
I really believe in Generation Z. And I hope that you do better than we did.
Absolutely.
Now here it comes from.
Of course, I'm still bitter with NPR. You know my reasons.
Because they didn't purchase Roundtable of Gentlemen.
Well, you know the story.
No, I remember. God, I would have loved to have been in that fucking room when they played Roundtable of Gentlemen.
I had such a great meeting with them because, you know, I can be very professional.
No, of course.
And I was like, I love radio. And,
oh, yeah. And,
then
and they're like, because you got a great voice, too. So They're like, oh, this guy's going to be this is the reasonable center man we need. Oh, he's the gentle liberal we've been searching for. Meanwhile, just like, yeah. Like, it was just I wonder what episode you gave them.
I don't know.
Good Lord.
I'm sure it was one where Holden had talked about having sex with his mom.
Fucking mother, dude. All right, so we got a couple of emails from scientists this week because of the weird theoretical quantum physics bullshit that we were talking about last week that we wanted some form of explanation for. So let's see how far we will get. Because this was in response to the story about Salvatore Pais and this idea of this compact plasma fusion device that he says it's the future of travel. And it seems like it's a person that is working with the U.S. Navy, blah, 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 to create a facsimile of UFO technology.
Okay.
So this is what he says. All right. So this is what I come down to. Basically, matter can generally transition into other states through changes of temperature. In a very simple terms, the way we define a state is how the molecules of a substance interact with each other. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know, make something cold, it gets more solid, you know, makes it not, becomes more liquid.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Now, Pais' theory seems to rely on the fact that if you vibrate something fast enough, it increases the temperature and can turn solids into plasma, right? The fourth state of matter is plasma, which requires such a high temperature that essentially no bonds between molecules or atoms are possible, right? So he thinks all of this bullshit from Pais, the layman transition that he believes comes from Sebastian Pai's like gobbledygook is okay. I finally slipped one of my bullshit theories past a low quality journal's reviewers, and I'm going to latch onto this as hard as I can as proof of I'm legitimate. This comes from a very bitter scientist.
Wow, I guess so.
Which I understand. My biggest theory, which I modestly name after myself, is the Pais effect, which says that if I vibrate charged particles faster and faster over time, eventually they turn into plasma, which releases lots of energy. This energy interacts with vacuum of space, which I now declare is a new state of matter, which deemed to be very important. Before you think that too hard, here's some bud words to convince you. I'm a science guy. Vacuum, matter, quantum reality. They're very, very upset. Now, this is why he says that all of this is bullshit.
Oh.
Right? Just going off the excerpt alone, Salvatore Pais declares the vacuum energy state as the fifth state of matter, but a vacuum is by definition a state with no matter. It's kind of like saying starving is my favorite food.
Whoa.
We already have a fifth state of matter, which is the Bose-Einstein condensate. I won't bore you with an explanation of what it is, but it seems like a good plasma scientist should know what that is already.
Yeah, if you were a plasma scientist and you didn't know, we're making fun of you. Now we're making fun of you.
And he says, we already know about the phenomenon of what this guy was talking about, a macroscopic quantum coherence. So Pais is a little late here. An example is superconducting wire that you might find in an MRI machine to generate large magnetic fields. However, to achieve these states requires a lot of energy and cooling. As an example, high magnetic fields MRIs need giant tanks of liquid helium to cool the superconducting wires to a temperature low enough to function properly, making a portable, compact version of this not feasible with current technology.
Oh my God, tell me something I don't know.
I mean, tell me.
How many times
are we going to cover this? But basically, he just says none of it's right.
Ah.
And then it sounds like a weird, he doesn't know how it all got through.
Man, it must be hard being a scientist saying all the words and then be like, it's almost like you're talking a different language and no one knows what you're saying. And you're just trying to communicate the best way you know how to communicate.
You're trying to avoid miscommunication and misinformation. But then sometimes you're going to talk to two dum-dums here that asked for letters from scientists who also don't understand it.
Henry made a fart noise when he fake came back to Earth from space.
That's
remember
what
that?
It sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And I made dinosaur noises as well.
Which may have been accurate.
I don't know.
We don't know.
And this one comes from Lillian, who is written to us several times.
That's my grandma's name.
Very, very smart. This is another very smart person that was talking about the concept of when we were talking about portals to the fifth dimension, right? Okay. Last week. Physicists currently have a model for reality called the Standard Model that is highly accurate but incomplete and needs to be modified to include things like dark matter. One of the ways to modify the Standard Model is to include something called a warped extra dimension. To oversimplify it, this means that along with space and time, there is a thing which exists to give certain particles mass or a mass.
Okay.
Right? You understanding?
I somewhat.
Sure, in a way. In other words, this extra dimension is not a place that we can visit or perceive, and there is no physical portal to get there. The theory itself is pretty cool, and this particular study's merit draws from the fact that there might be a way to experimentally test the theory. Weiss's use of the word portal is incredibly misleading. The original study's paper uses the word portal to discuss a complicated interaction mechanism. All right, so that's basically... I don't understand. It is just saying that there's things about extra dimensions that we literally can't grok if we wanted to.
You ever take a block of Velveeta cheese and put it on nachos without melting it? It's
sure.
Disgusting.
I hate it. It's just cheese and chips. What am I doing? If I have no knife?
You got to melt it.
Okay, well, that's that story.
There you go. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lillian.
Honestly, Lillian's a wonderful name. I think I'm going to name my first daughter Lillian and my first son Herbert.
Where are you going to be? You going to buy them or are you going to grow them?
They do grow.
All right, here we go. This is a good old fashioned ghost story. For whatever reason, my boyfriend, who I'll refer to as Jack, is sensitive.
Is he a felon?
I don't know. Really? I don't know. They are afraid.
Okay.
For whatever reason, my boyfriend, I'll refer to as Jack, he's sensitive to the paranormal and communicate with ghosts. His brother John passed away a few years ago, and John's ghost seems to like hanging around our apartment.
Oh.
A few weeks ago, I had some extra cash, so I decided to treat myself to a bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
It's a person right there.
Nice.
A few nights later, I opened it and settled down on the couch with my boyfriend to enjoy the glass. Barely a minute after I took the first sip, Jack jumped in surprise and yelled, "What the fuck?" as he turned around. He said he heard a loud bang behind us, and after investigating, we found a dent in the ceiling that matched the walking stick that had been resting on the wall below it. A little spooked, we went into the couch where Jack asked if I had said something, which I did not. He heard something whispering, but it wasn't me. At this point, I downed the scotch and said it was time for bed. It was almost 2 a.m. and I didn't know what was happening. On our way to bed, Jack found a scrap of paper perfectly in the center of the hallway towards the bedroom. Just two words were written on it in handwriting that didn't match either one of us. "You forgot." Jack realized his brother John was haunting us and tried to figure out what we forgot. Maybe the day was special, but that was ruled out quickly. Then I realized why John was upset. John loved whiskey. Every time we got a new bottle, we would always pour out a shot glass of it. More often if it was Jack Daniels, his favorite. This time, I didn't give him any scotch. We heard gentle knocks on the wall, which we figured was John telling us to give him some. After asking some questions and getting intelligent responses, we went back to the kitchen and Jack froze. He said he saw John standing in our kitchen looking impatient. After a beat, he shrugged it off and went to start pouring us all a shot glass of scotch. Maybe a waste to you, but John clearly wanted to share. After uncorking the bottle, the cork went flying across the kitchen on its own and ended almost under the fridge. It could be some scotch, but still, it's crazy.
It's scary.
Jack told John to be patient, and we're getting there. And a small white candle we have on the counter lit on its own.
Wow.
Jack blew it out after he was finishing pouring the shots and went outside to pour it out for John. Things began to settle down after that. We asked with some questions, and he replied with gentle knocking on the wall that he kept us awake with more knocks until 3 a.m. Just because he thought it was hilarious. Yeah, he was hammered. We told him to fuck off. We need some sleep, which he ignored until Jack threatened to bring out the sage.
What?
Finally, he was quiet.
You know what, man? We got to write a movie. Drunk Ghosts.
I love the idea. Or Drunk Ghost Dad.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Ghost Dad. Whatever happened to him?
To that star? Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to Bill Cosby?
Interesting. But, you know, that's a very powerful thing. I had a powerful dream about Triple H, the pro wrestler. He came to me in a dream. And you know what? I asked him for advice. And you know what he said?
What?
Slow dance. But remember that?
Interesting.
Because I talked about it. I didn't want to dance at my wedding.
That's right.
And he said, slow dance.
Whoa. That's romance. He just opened the door to romance.
Maybe, but also take it easy. Just dance around. No, absolutely.
Life's a slow dance. But Triple H is a bit of a hustler for that kind of advice. He should take some of the advice for himself, because I think Triple H is working too hard.
He loves to work out, but that's what he does. He doesn't do anything else other than work out and work. See, that's how nice it is. That's how I say, he doesn't do anything else but work hard.
Yes.
So he's like lazy.
He is lazy for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that tale. That was cool.
That
very
was
creepy.
Really, really cool.
And thank God John didn't like crystal meth, so you have to constantly buy it, put a line out for him.
Because honestly, it's a lot, because you're going to get mad. You're going to start getting really actually very upset.
Well, it's a felony.
And then it's your crystal meth.
Right. We're going to tell the judge the ghost wanted it.
Being like, this is for my dead brother. And then, honestly, that would make more sense.
Yeah, it really would. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. We're super excited to see you in the not so distant future.
I feel like we're supposed to wait to next week to make our announcement.
I think we are, but we have an announcement coming next week. So anyway, we'll see.
Get ready for that.
Yeah. I mean, you can assume what
it's
it
about
is.
Fucking going out on the road.
Yeah, we're gonna go on the road at some point this year.
Yes, it's going on the road.
And we have some dates to tell you about.
And yeah, you fuck. Oh my god, I'm gonna pinch each one of your cheeks, bottoms and ups.
Oh.
I'm gonna play with your knees, you fucking pieces of shit. I can't wait to see all of you. I can't wait to eat in a restaurant that's not my house.
Oh, that will be nice.
Oh, yeah. And then also we have, you know, check out lastpodcastmerch.com. We got all new sorts of bullshit on there. And also check out DuneCast is coming your way March 15th.
It is. You are stressed out. You I know you've been working really hard on this, so it's going to be great.
It was a mistake. Doing an extra show was a mistake. Well, but guess what?
I think it's a super simple topic like Dune.
Yeah, yeah. It's really easy to condense.
Yeah, of course
it is. But it's fun as hell. I can't wait to you to watch and listen to us both go fucking completely insane as we roll through the muck that is Dune.
And of course, that'll be with Holden McNally. I'm sitting this one out. Thank God. Thank God. I get a little break.
So live every day watching your neighbors, hoping for that U-Haul, like living for that witness lifestyle.
Honestly.
Because nothing's more fun, right? Because when you're a witness, you can sit and you can laugh and everybody fucking comes at you. Everybody's telling me, oh, now everybody's asking me, oh, witness me. I want to be a witness to my death. Free, be a witness to my death.
Free police station coffee.
So much.
So
and what's
much.
Nice about it is it's so gray looking that you'll just love it. You love police station coffee.
Mm.
You love hanging out with the cops all day because it's better than sitting at home.
You know Linda did. You know those cops are like, Linda, we are good with you. Thank you for the information.
And I'll tell you another thing.
I don't, Linda.
Let me tell you.
That's just your neighbor is gay, Linda. It's not a story for us. It's actually totally legal and it's fine. You need to leave him alone.
He has many gentlemen callers and
yes,
I hope that he would commit. I want him to get married.
That's not important.
Also, he leaves his trash cans out one extra day.
Linda, you're becoming the problem.
I guess I'll just have to take care of the problem myself.
No! All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan!
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me.
Absolutely.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.